And joining us now is a great friend and one of the best at covering the National Football League. He works for FoxSports.com, our good buddy, Alex Marvez. Alex, how you doing?
Vic, great to be back on. Thanks for having me.
Well, Alex, let's talk first of all about this Browns team, and I'd like to get, we always love when national analysts weigh in on what they see here. 2-7, not the start anyone hoped for, but I guess somewhat understandable with a team this young.
Yeah, and I think that's, I think just what is the frustrating part for Browns fans, and trust me, I know enough of them, is that it's been rebuilding for so long. And you just, you get into that situation, Vic, where you wonder, when is this team really finally going to be able to turn the corner? You thought a couple of years ago with the 10-6 record under Romeo Crennel and Phil Savage that it was that time. Instead, everyone really vastly overrated how many strides the Browns had really made, and you go back to the drawing board. And I think that's maybe the biggest thing that I wonder about with 2013, a new owner in Jimmy Haslam. Does he want to go ahead and see this ship, you know, see this rebuilding process through under the current administration? Or all of a sudden, do you think, you know what, maybe we have some players in place, but I want a different vision, I want a different head coach, I want something new. And I also wonder, too, how much does the fan base dictate this as well? If you're able to go ahead and lure a Bill Cowher or a big name back to the sidelines, does that make a difference when it comes to going ahead and starting a new era of Browns football, if you decide that's what you want to do? And and when they say that Pat Shurmur is coaching for his job, I mean, I believe it. And it's a weird year. It's not just in Cleveland. It's in Tennessee. It's in Philadelphia. You know, it's in Kansas City. I mean, so many spots may have head coaching vacancies. San Diego, to name a few right here. It's just been a strange year in the NFL. I feel for Pat Shurmur because he's got so much young talent. But if this team doesn't win a few more games before the end of the year, I just don't know if he's going to be able to come back.
And the thing you look at with this team, with the young talent, and I'm, you know, you bring up this point about seeing through the process of developing the young players, rebuilding with this very young group. You start with the quarterback, and I think after nine games, the jury is definitely out still. But I thought it was a little more inward, if you will, during the middle portion of these nine games. These last two have not been sterling games for Brandon Whedon, but I don't know that they reflect what he really is. I still sense that the guy who rebounded from a horrendous start against Philly in that opener and played some solid to really good games along the way, and his numbers, you know, with yardage and touchdown passes, nine TDs, but he does have the 12 interceptions. But generally speaking, I see a guy who is closer to that. What do you see?
Yeah, I like Brandon Whedon, and I think there is something there to be developed. I like him a lot more, for example, than a Blaine Gabbert in Jacksonville. And not to knock Blaine because he's had some difficult circumstances, but you know, you look at difficult circumstances, working with rookie wide receivers, working with guys who have dropped so many passes. You know, Greg Little's development has been such a disappointment. You know, the Browns probably win that game against Indianapolis if Josh Gordon can hold on to the football. You know, if Trent Richardson is healthy for an entire season, is he pushing Doug Martin for, you know, running back of the year for rookies, so to speak? Not that there is that official award, but yeah, you get my point.
You know, you probably give it out on your website.
Exactly. Is he the rookie running back of the year? So I do think that there's some potential there. You know, the biggest concern you have as a franchise is when you draft a first-round quarterback and you try to fool yourself into thinking he's a franchise player, because what you end up doing is wasting two or three years on a guy who doesn't end up developing, and then you're back to square one, and in the meantime, your best players have gotten 3 years older if they're even still with you by that point. I do think Brandon Whedon shows those signs, but this is in a lot of ways maybe a trial under fire for him as well, because if a new administration comes in and they think Brandon Whedon isn't the answer, I mean, Vic, you could see, I don't know about a first-round pick necessarily on a quarterback, but a second- or third-round pick, someone else to go ahead and push Brandon Whedon, or even someone that thinks that Colt McCoy might be the answer. I mean, gosh, it's an uncertain future right now in Cleveland with so much change just going on there.
And one of the guys, though, who looks like he's got traction for, I think, years to come is Trent Richardson. We're seeing a guy who has battled through injuries, started out with the arthroscopic knee surgery that cost him the whole preseason, but has rebounded so well these last couple of weeks with sore ribs to run for back-to-back 100-yard games. I mean, that's impressive. And he seems to be, Alex, a tone setter. He seems to be the guy who wants to lead as much as anyone on this football team.
He's finally got the Jim Brown seal of approval, right?
Yeah, so that's right.
Fortunately, we can close that ugly chapter in Brown's history. But no, and I think Trent, you know, he cares. And this game, it's interesting. You look at a guy like Dez Bryant, and it's a cliche, right? football means something to somebody. And what I think people mean by that is, okay, it's one thing to have the trappings of being a great NFL player, and there are certain guys that have the type of athletic ability that they're going to be able to compensate for maybe not putting their all in when it comes to studying the playbook and maybe not even taking care of your body properly, things like that. I don't get that sense with Trent Richardson. I think that he cares, and I think that he wants to go ahead and set a legacy. I think that it, in some ways, maybe you look back and what Jim Brown said back around draft time will provide motivation throughout his career to always keep that in the back of his head. You know, just like how Aaron Rodgers has a rejection letter from Purdue that right. he keeps nearby whenever he wants to hear about whether or not he could make it in the NFL. It motivates him. I feel that same way with Trent. And I do think that this guy in time is going to be an outstanding running back. Just makes you wonder, too, by the way, could he become the next Adrian Peterson if Pat Shurmur and Brad Childress are both back in 2013 and able to implement more of this offense?
Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Alex, let's take a swing around the National Football League. You are on the line with us from Philadelphia. You're down there for Fox Sports America's game package, Cowboys at Eagles. Obviously a big NFC East showdown, but the bigger, and they're both big stories with these teams. Let's start with the Eagles and the future of Andy Reid, which is kind of a daily question, the future of Michael Vick at quarterback. Give us a sense of what's happening there.
Dark days for both. You know, I think the big difference, and I'll get to the Cowboys in a minute, but one of the things that you think between these two franchises is, okay, when it comes to Philadelphia, if Andy Reid is finally ousted as head coach after 14 years, after being unable to take this team to a Super Bowl victory, although he did get him to the big game back in 2004, I think you look at the fact there will be wholesale changes in Philadelphia, starting with Michael Vick at quarterback and working their way on down. It would be a whole new regime, a whole new era for the Philadelphia Eagles. When I go to Dallas and I hang out in that locker room, it's like Groundhog Day every day. You wake up and it's still Jerry Jones as the general manager owner. It's still a 500 caliber team. It's still Tony Romo being guaranteed a starting spot, even though there's a lot of questions about whether or not this guy can lead a team to playoff success. So I think that's maybe the big thing here in Philadelphia. People just you look at the offensive line, four or five starters entering the season are out. They cannot protect Michael Vick adequately. Michael Vick may be out of the lineup anyway because he might get just hit to the point that Nick Foles has to play as a rookie. But it has been such a tough go here as well, the firing of Juan Castillo, a defensive coordinator. They're still in it, technically at 3-5, but this team is going to have to get super, super hot to be a playoff team. And right now, Vic, I just don't see it.
There's a question out there about, I hear this almost, if not daily, certainly weekly, about who the best team is in the NFL, and a lot of debate over exactly who that is. Just no real core belief that the unbeaten Atlanta Falcons should be considered that team. A lot of people looked at Houston for a while, and there's still, yeah, there's some people who think they're really good, but not sure, and maybe no one in the AFC gets that kind of love. The Giants and 49ers get mentioned by some. Where do you weigh in on all this, Alex? And tell me why we don't have that definitive team, even if the Falcons are undefeated.
You know, it's great. I mean, I think it is really interesting that there is no dominant team this year. You know, I think one of the reasons is that the Falcons, even though they're 8-0, beside that victory in San Diego, they just haven't really had that signature win where they just go ahead and absolutely blow out the opposition. You know, like the way New England was doing it a couple years ago, beating up on Tennessee and Washington, putting up more than 50 points on the scoreboard and humiliating those squads. Atlanta has squeaked by in so many games that I think people realize that the parity this year is just, it's like it hasn't been in so long. I mean, even think back a couple years ago, Tennessee starting the season undefeated and looking pretty darn solid en route to a 13-3 year. Then they lose their first playoff game. Green Bay's hot start last year. Everyone thought they were just going to march into the Super Bowl. Instead, they lose in the first round of the playoffs. So I think this year, though, more than it has in a long time, that the talent is equal across the board. And a team that you didn't mention that I know that was probably just an oversight, but Chicago now has to really be considered among maybe the NFL's best teams. That's why I'm so fired up about Sunday night's game between the Texans and Chicago, because this really could be a precursor to Super Bowl 47.
Yeah, you mentioned the Bears, and it's right. That right there, the fact that I didn't bring them up is reflective of what we're talking about, that you that these teams are distant from the mind, and as much as I do respect what the Bears do defensively and forcing turnovers, all that other stuff, and Jay Cutler, I know, has the passing, and Brandon Marshall receiving, and then the Denver Broncos, another team I didn't bring up, but the whole Peyton Manning revival. But I don't know. Isn't there still that thing that tells you maybe not with these teams?
You're so right. And then, you know, what I'm trying to figure out here too, Vic, is who gets hot in the second half of the season? You know, when you look at, you know, and that's really where the Super Bowl champion comes from. I mean, you look at the Giants. I mean, this was around a 500 team. They could have very easily been out of the playoffs last year. They would have been with a Week 17 loss to the Dallas Cowboys, and said they get hot at the right time and they make that run. I'm trying to see who in the second half of the season all of a sudden is going to start surpassing maybe the Minnesota Vikings of the world. You know, teams that started fast but then fade quickly. Is it Detroit that has won two straight games and finally put together a complete outing last week against Jacksonville? Is it Tampa Bay that seems to have caught lightning in a bottle with Doug Martin doing a great job and Josh Freeman really feeling comfortable in that offense? On the AFC side, I've been trying to figure out who can get hot there, and it's a lot more difficult to pick a team you feel good about, although maybe San Diego has seen the worst. I mean, you're still going to get Fire Norv trending on Twitter each time that they lose. But nonetheless, maybe this team can put together a run to get a wild card. Maybe Phillip Rivers can get back on track. But I'm trying to figure out, Vic, myself, who is that team in the AFC that says, wow, you know what, they're starting to play some good football. Maybe it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe they're the ones.
Mm. And of the quarterbacks – Of the rookie quarterbacks especially, but the young quarterbacks in general, who really are you believing in? Are you fully sold and bought into what Andrew Luck has done with this Colts team? And can you see that gaining a lot of traction? And Robert Griffin III, there was a whole lot of excitement there. That seems to be tempered a little bit lately. But, you know, in general, Alex, what are you seeing of these younger guys, and who do you think has the traction that can really make the impact this year, be the playoff team this year with one of those young people under center?
You know, I'm going to go with Seattle. I just think that, and that has to do with supporting cast as much as anything. And I think that's one of the reasons, like, you see a Ryan Tannehill right now. I mean, he just doesn't have guys to throw to that are an elite level. He doesn't have a deep threat that he can go ahead and play with. You know, Andrew Luck, eventually, I think the lack of a running game is going to hurt the Indianapolis Colts. But right now, I give him a ton of credit because he has carried that offense. He plays just like we thought he would. You know, we kept saying this is the most pro-ready quarterback since Peyton Manning in 1998. And ironically enough, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, the exact same number of passing yards and the exact same record at this point of the season, which is just one eerie coincidence. But when it comes to Seattle and Russell Wilson, I see a guy who's getting better each week. I see a guy who can make plays with his legs. I see Marshawn Lynch supporting him in the backfield. And I look at a very stingy defense and an incredible home field advantage. I think that the Seahawks are a team that will make the postseason, and I think they will do it with Russell Wilson at quarterback.
He is Alex Marvez, one of the very best in this business, joining us here. And we appreciate your time, and we look forward to talking with you down the road, Alex.
Sounds great, Vic. Be good, brother.
All right. Much more is coming up. Alex from FoxSports.com. More is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.